And welcome into the Thursday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions, right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody is doing well out there today. Got a loaded show for you here today. Obviously, we'll continue to look ahead at the Titans and the Bengals coming up on Saturday night, and we'll have John Hines, Preds head coach, joining us on at 7:30 as well. Best and worst things in sports coming up at 7:45, and then a loaded 8 o'clock hour for you. We've got Stephen Holder from The Athletic coming by. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans-Bengals matchup. Also, what's going on in Indianapolis with Carson Wentz and the Colts? Lots to get to with Stephen Holder. Gentry Estes stopping by the show at 8:30 as well. And as always, taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Going to be an interesting week this week. We broke down the Titans and Bengals matchup yesterday and what all's going on with that. And one of the things we talked about yesterday was, man, hey, that Titans injury report's looking pretty good. Well, maybe not so fast on the injury report front. You look at the injury report yesterday, Naquan Jones, Buster Skrine, again, full participants in practice, so that looks good. Tyre Tart, again, a limited participant, but Jackrabbit Jenkins shows up on the injury report with an ankle and a DNP attached next to his name on Wednesday. Derek Roberson not practicing, not injury-related on the injury report as well. So, got a little bit more interesting on the injury report for the Titans yesterday, Joe Rex Road. Uh-oh, we got a mute. Started it off with one mute.
And a mute to boot. not a great situation to have a corner missing if that's going to be the case against this team. So, if you go DNP with an injury that comes out of nowhere, obviously something happened. Well, I shouldn't say obviously something happened in practice. I mean, could have happened going upstairs or something, but it's new. It's new this week. And so today is pretty important. Today's the last injury report. I mean, it's possible he could be ruled out. Either way, if he's able to gear up and play Saturday, is he a limited Jenkins? You know, this isn't the opponent you want to have any sort of corner shortages against. So it may be a Buster Skrine game here.
Yeah, I mean, you'd like to have all hands on deck if possible against the Bengals with that receiving core that we've talked a lot about this week. And, you know, I saw this yesterday, and, you know, Jackrabbit Jenkins has been on the injury report this year with an ankle. So I don't know if it's the same thing or not, or if this is a completely separate incident, but you know, he was off of it for the last couple of weeks, and now an ankle injury has popped back up for Jackrabbit Jenkins. So I have no clue whether or not it's the same ankle or he's re-aggravated that injury or if this is completely separate. But not good for Jackrabbit Jenkins to just go on the injury report as of yesterday. We talked about him yesterday here on the show. Like, I think down the stretch of the regular season, he started to play a little bit better and started to fit in. Had that big pick against San Francisco to really kind of get things turned back around the other way for the Titans on that Thursday night football game. Had some moments where he looked pretty good coming down the stretch. It'd be nice to have him out there on Saturday and available to you at full capacity.
Yeah, and, Greg Maben is another guy who has played, you know, played some important snaps for this team. He just got put on the reserve COVID list yesterday, which, by the way, that's the first person to be put on that in quite a while. Maybe it's just a random one person, but that's another thing to look at here, is that the fact that anyone has gone on that here, now it happens right before the game. So you know, today's kind of a important day in terms of, you know, what else may come out. And of course, Jenkins will be a big question.
And then on the other side of things, it looks like Trey Hendrickson going to be available for the Bengals at this point. As we've talked about, he's been in the concussion protocol. He was a limited participant on Tuesday. He was back out there as a full participant yesterday. So, I mean, it looks like he's gotten through the protocol at this point, or at least will get through the protocol, and I would expect that he'll be out there, and he will be trying to chase down Ryan Tannehill on the other side of things coming up on Saturday. 14 sacks this year for Trey Hendrickson.
Yeah, by far their best pass rusher. So it's just a big deal for that defense to have him. I mean, Zach Taylor from the start has sounded optimistic about it. And like you said, full participant. I have seen before someone, I've seen players who have been full participants while in protocol, and they still don't end up playing in the game.
Yep.
So, but you know, we'll see. We'll see if he has an injury designation today, or if you know, they may actually be able to say that he's through it today and he'll play. It looks like he's going to play. That's Ogunjobi's a loss for the Bengals for sure, but Hendrickson would be a much bigger loss.
He would be, and we talked to, you know, Jay Morrison yesterday, who covers the Bengals for The Athletic, about, you know, just how much different their pass rush has been this year. Obviously, Hendrickson has kind of led the charge in that area, but they've been a pass rush that really couldn't get after much of anybody a couple of years ago, and now they've gotten a lot better in that area this year. So, I mean, it's similar to the Titans in that regard. Now, the Titans, I think, was it CBS that put this stat out yesterday? They're the only team in the NFL that has got three guys with eight sacks or more. So pretty good stuff there if you're the Titans.
Yeah, they're both much different and better on defense, for sure. But Hendrickson is probably the main reason, but that's not the only reason. But, yeah, I mean, both of them were really bad in that way last year. In fact, I think the Bengals had less sacks than the Titans last year.
I think they did, which is hard to do, man.
That's right. Like, yeah. I mean, the Titans set the record for playoff lowest sack total for a playoff team, where they tied the 1979 Denver Broncos.
Yeah.
But I think I want to say the Bengals had like 15 or something last year. So,
hey, if not for a couple of late season Brooks Reed just blistering pass rushes, this team would have really been in a tough spot last year.
Gosh, good old Brooks Reed. Pretty amazing that Brooks Reed doesn't end up being one of those 91 players, you know?
Yeah, it is.
he should still get, you know, if they win it, he should still get a ring too.
Yeah, I think him and Sam Sloman both.
Win to Brooks Reed.
Get Sam Sloman. Any future success the Titans have, get Sam Sloman a ring, for God's sake.
That's fair, you know? I mean, the guy won a title for you. What do you want?
Going to be really interesting to see the injury report today for the Titans. Like, if Jack Rabbit can't go, I mean, I guess it'll be the Buster Screen show outside. What do we think happens if Jack Rabbit's not able to be a participant for the Titans in this game? Which I guess we could find out today, technically, if he's ruled out.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, well, you know, remember, too, with the Houston game that you had two guys get hurt, and apparently both are fine. Christian Fulton, Elijah Molden.
Yep.
Now, Fulton did come back in the game. Molden was a little bit more of a question. I mean, he hasn't been on the injury report this year. So, you know, those are your two other starting corners. And, yeah, I mean, I mean really on the active roster, you've only got the other option would be Chris Jackson. So, I mean, you do have a choice there. And Chris Jackson is a guy who, you know, certainly has played all over the place. Chris Jackson's played inside. He's played outside. And, you know, obviously his last time out, he came in to the slot from Molden. The Texans immediately went at him and scored a touchdown with the unstoppable Danny Amendola. But, you know, Molden had been getting beat by Danny Amendola too. But Chris Jackson, I would guess Buster Screen. That would be my guess. Because he's played pretty well. He's played pretty well down the stretch here. I mean, we're talking about a veteran, 32-year-old veteran out of Chattanooga. Been around the league a lot, but I think he's been a really nice pickup for them. So that would be my guess. It is good to have Chris Jackson, you know, there as an option to move around. But, yeah, I mean, that, you know, you lose some – you certainly, I think, lose some speed. I mean, Jenkins runs really well still for a 33-year-old guy. And I agree with you. He's been playing better. He didn't have a great day against Houston. I don't know that anybody really had a great day against Houston.
Well, when you got Davis Mills and Danny Amendola out there, we probably should have saw that from coming before the game even started. I mean, I don't know. That's probably on us.
That's right. You got a grade on a curve. When it's Davis M and Danny A, you know, it's just a different kind of deal.
We are off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts on our text line driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Speaking of the playoffs, make sure you tune in tomorrow from 6 to 7 p.m. for NFL playoffs tonight. with Chase McCabe as he breaks down the upcoming playoff game for the Two-Tone Blue. The NFL Playoff Tonight Show is presented by Mercedes-Benz of Music City, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, and Toyos Clinic, Smile LASIK, and Hair Restoration. So looking forward to that one coming up tomorrow night from 6 to 7 p.m. here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We'll continue the discussion on the Titans when we come back. As always, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Fired, have been among the guys who kind of talked about being wary of the idea, hey, everybody's back, we've got the number one seed, we're home. But have you guys, have you had any conversations about, hey, we can't, you know, think that everything's set up for us?
Yeah, luckily I think our culture here has been such that we expect people to go out and execute at a certain level regardless of who they are and what their name is. And so when that expectation doesn't fluctuate with the personnel that's in there, it makes it easier to then, hold those people to a standard when they come back. I don't think anyone here is real comfortable, and I think we've done a nice job of challenging ourselves, to try to look for ways to improve, and certainly no one's gotten fat and happy. We've left far too much meat on the bone to be fat and happy. So offensively for us, there's a long way to go before we reach that level of consistency we're looking for, and I think that leaves us a long ways away from ever being content.
That was Titans offensive coordinator Todd Downing yesterday saying the Titans have left far too much meat on the bone to be fat and happy heading into this matchup against the Bengals. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Joe, do you buy into sometimes the number one seeds get a little bit too cocky heading into the playoffs, and do you think that's at all even remotely having a chance to be an issue with this Titans team?
Did it happen to the Ravens a couple years ago? I don't know.
Maybe.
They went 14-2, and the Titans came in and punched him in the mouth. I don't think it's any kind of a – if the Titans lose, I don't think that's going to be why they lose, you know? I mean, if anything, I don't even – honestly, it's not like I'm not out here tracking – I know some people are able to track what every single show says, that's why they can say we're the only show that's honest about what's that.
I figured you'd be better at that now. You've had a couple of months to practice that. Now you can get in there and start watching and listening to everything.
I'm trying. You do get a sense. I don't know. You tell me, are there a bunch of people? I mean, there's some of the Bills Chiefs is the real title game, and I've heard some of the – although the analytics guy, that Aaron Schatz guy, he actually wrote something sort of – I think it was almost like an apology.
Yeah, like get off my back.
Basically saying admitting that it's hard to because at one point he had something like this is the weakest one seed since 1980, whatever. But then acknowledging that because of the injuries and the lineup weirdness with this team, it's really hard to make that assessment. No duh, we already knew that. Thank you. But there's a fair amount of, disrespect for the Titans. I don't know. They're being talked about. You can't not talk about them now, right? That's one big complaint from Titans fans.
Well, I think to a certain degree that's true. I mean, there's a lot of talk about Derrick Henry right now, which – I think we expected. I mean, that's your franchise player. When Derrick Henry's coming back, that's what people talk about. I mean, I did a radio interview in Calgary yesterday, and basically the whole interview was like, why is nobody talking about the Titans? It's basically, they asked me five different versions of the same question. I was like, well, we're talking about them here locally, but that's about it. Everybody's talking about the Bills and the Chiefs being the de facto AFC title game. And again, I get it. Patrick Mahomes, they've been in the Super Bowl the last 2 years. Josh Allen and the Bills just absolutely destroyed the Patriots. It's like, I understand why the talking point is what it is. Like the quarterbacks in that discussion, because really, that's what it really boils down to at the end of the day, is the quarterbacks. Generally, those drive a lot of the discussions, and I think we would all agree that while we think Ryan Tannehill has the potential to be very good here, he's not Josh Allen, and he's not Patrick Mahomes. So that's part of this discussion as well.
Sure, yeah, no doubt. Yeah, it's funny because, you know, with Tannehill a year ago, I thought Tannehill had a better year than Josh Allen. But, yeah, right. I mean, I would definitely, you know, agree with that. I mean, Tannehill is – yeah, right near the bottom of the eight. If you're going to rank them, so yeah, I guess I don't know. I mean, so Derrick Henry is the dominant discussion point. There's a fair amount of like this team's better, or they're not that good. The bottom line is it all to me adds up to like if the outside world has any impact, and of course if you're Mike Vrabel, you would love for it to have zero impact, but. If it does, it's not going to be like an impact of making these guys comfortable or thinking that they're, you know, they're just going to cruise. They, you know, I just don't think that's an issue. Look, maybe in the minds of some of the guys on the Titans, it's we're all set up and everything's going to be great. But look, they're watching film of the Bengals this week. I mean, you tell me they're feeling comfortable right now. I don't think they should be.
Well, I don't think they should be either. And, you know, it's interesting to me when these discussions pop up for teams that, like, have not won a championship. Like, this Titans group, a lot of these guys have been together for a while now. Like, I don't know that I buy into the, hey, this team's going to get fat and happy heading into the playoffs when they've never won anything. I mean, they've gotten to the AFC title game. You know, we had Roger Saffold on yesterday. I mean, you can tell there's a lot of excitement, I think, from this group about what they could be heading into the playoffs. I don't think they're going to overlook anybody come playoff time once they get there. Now, does that mean they're going to go out and win on Saturday? Not necessarily. I mean, if I had to pick right now, I would pick the Titans to win this game. But I don't think if Cincinnati comes in there and lights them up and Ja'Marr Chase goes for, I don't know, 12 catches for a 166 and two touchdowns, like, is that going to be because the Titans didn't take him seriously heading into the game? I would hope not. I severely doubt that.
Yeah, and I don't think they're overlooking Ja'Marr Chase, you know, and he might have a big day. I don't think the Bengals are overlooking Derrick Henry, and he might have a big day. Yep. You know, that's one thing that should be great about the playoffs is that, like, you get rid of all the, oh, this team caught that team, you know, looking ahead to this or that, you know, or not taking them seriously. I mean, you know, it's the playoffs. I mean, it's every single thing you can summon to try to have a good performance, and everybody wants to, you know, to win desperately. And yeah, it's a good point about them not winning a title. I mean, but even, I mean, the Chiefs won it all 2 years ago and got all the way back there, you know, last year. So, I mean, if you're good enough, you're good enough. That's what's to me is more important for the Titans is just, you know, can they offensively, you know, execute, like, because that's where it's like, I mean, just like what Todd Downing was saying there, not getting fat and happy. Fat and happy is a man, Tom Izzo's favorite phrase, by the way. I had a flashback when he said that, but you know, the meat on the bone. I mean, that's the big question to me is, like, we've seen it in glimpses here and there. And for a lot of reasons, it hasn't all been together. Like, are they able to put a performance together, you know, a full performance with everybody and play their best offensively for a day or more than one day? Because if they can, then I think they can make a run. And that's why I still go back to Tannehill and Downing. I mean, I think those are the key figures here for them. And if they have good days, then I think everything else will fall in line.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Our buddy Ron texting in says, good morning, guys. I listened to the Jared versus Joe, and I normally don't agree with Jared on a lot of issues about this team, but last night Jared said that he would pretty much live and die with Henry in this game with Cincy. I agree, because if we were to lose, I'd rather go down with Henry than go down with Foreman. In other words, I'll take my chances with Henry this week rather than Foreman if I had to choose. Joe did not agree. This is coming from Ron on the text line.
Yeah, let me tell you something. Remind me to never let Jared, like, coach one of my kids in anything. Well, you got a broken arm? Get your butt out there.
Just go, buddy.
Hit some tennis balls. Let's go. It's like, he's like, oh, 30 carries. Let's go. I'm like, I don't know. It has been like 11 weeks. There's a steel rod in his foot. You know, like, the first game back, maybe give Foreman a series. Is this crazy? No, listen, even take the injury part away from it. We've talked about this. I believe that Derrick Henry, you know, Derrick Henry should have like a first quarter stunt double. I mean, just put somebody else in 22, you know, if that were legal, and let them take a few hits while the other defense is just so fired up to hit Derrick Henry. But Jared is all like, oh, Foreman replacement level player and all this stuff. I'm like, I think Foreman's kind of proved himself, hasn't he, to be a pretty good player. I'm not saying he's Derrick Henry, but
I think he's proved himself enough to get a job in the league, I would hope, next year.
Yeah, right. Yeah, for sure. I think that they should ease him in a little bit. And again, you get to whatever kind of game it is, if all's well, you know, fourth quarter Derrick Henry totally makes sense to me. But yeah, Jared's all like, every play, give him the ball, let's go. Like, it is, you know, it's look, he's 100%. He's available. So I agree with that. Like, you know, there's no reason to say, okay, it's 8 carries and that's it. But I'd mix it up a little bit early.
We've talked about, you know, the impact of Jackrabbit Jenkins at the corner position this week, and we'll see what his status is heading into this game. One thing that I'm really interested to see is what do the Titans do at inside linebacker? I think it's pretty obvious Zach Cunningham's going to be in there, and he's going to play a lot. I love the combination of Cunningham and David Long Jr., so I imagine we'll see a lot of that. Jayon Brown was inactive last time out. Like, do we think Jayon Brown is going to be a part of things heading into this game? I'm really interested to see what they do with those four guys. With, you know, with Cunningham and Long, you feel good about playing, and then there's Rashawn Evans and Jayon Brown. I'm interested to see if Jayon gets back in there on Saturday or if he's just kind of the odd man out right now in the rotation.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question. I mean, you know, you because you could make a case. I don't think there's any doubt. You know, Cunningham Long is your top two and should be. I love that combination. And I guess you could make a case in a certain matchup for Brown over Evans if you're making a choice. You got Nick DeZubner in there, and he's in there as a core special teams guy. And actually, I want to say, I'm trying to think, was Dylan Cole also active for special teams in that game? I'm not sure, but, you know, it's a special teams thing too. You got to have bodies there. I don't know. It could be from another position that, I mean, you may be short on corners in this game now too. So do you want to be short on corners? You probably don't. You probably are going to keep pulling people up. I mean, maybe like who's on the practice squad right now? You know, you got a body Calhoun that you could possibly bring up. You got a Chris Jones you could bring up. So that'll be interesting. It's weird to think of Jayon Brown not being active because he's done a lot for this team. And I still think he's a capable guy. He's a pretty good guy in coverage, makes plays. But, you know, Long and Cunningham, I don't know. I feel like Evans and Brown both would make sense to have active.
Yeah, I'm going to be really interested to see what happens on that front when it comes to the inside linebacker position coming up on Saturday. We'll continue the discussion on the Titans. Take more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll also get to why Joe Rexroad is a genius coming up on the other side. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
You definitely appreciate this game a lot more when you're away from it, being away from your teammates, just having that camaraderie, and you know, going to work every day, and why not play on Sundays each and every week. Definitely miss that, and you know, just happy to be back. I'm appreciative of everybody that helped me get to be able to come back and contribute during the playoffs, and just happy to be back playing football.
That was Derrick Henry yesterday at the podium addressing the media for the first time since before his broken foot that he sustained on Halloween in Indianapolis. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. So it's time to give Joe Rexroad some props. He is a genius. He said before the close of the show yesterday that he predicted that Derrick Henry would speak to the media, and Derrick Henry did. He spoke to the media yesterday, Joe Rexroad. So now is the time for your victory lap. Congratulations.
Well, I will say that I'd call it an educated guess. I had a little inkling.
I was going to leave that part out.
Whatever. Fine. I mean, it could have been just a pure guess, but I didn't know for sure, but I thought there was a pretty good chance. And he did talk, and it's interesting because he talked, and I think this is the first time I can recall a player on injured reserve speaking to the media in 6 years of being around the Titans. I don't think I've seen that before. Different kind of situation. But obviously this is a special situation in itself. So anyway, thank you, Derek, for talking. Now get out there and play every snap. Jared says you must play every snap from the start. Let's go.
Well, it was interesting to watch him speak yesterday. I mean, obviously he was very complimentary of the medical staff and his teammates for checking in on him. And, you know, as he said in the clip we just heard, just appreciative to be back out there on the field and all the things that you would expect Derrick Henry to play. You know, it's kind of, I don't know if strange is the right word, but they were talking about his status for Saturday, and he was like, yeah, I mean, well, I guess we'll have to see how I'm feeling coming up on Saturday. So I guess technically he's leaving the door open for not playing on Saturday, but, I mean, he's playing at this point. I'd be shocked if he didn't.
It's one of those things, you know, I love Ben Arthur, friend of the show, and, like, I can't blame him for asking directly, so you're playing. But when you ask it like that, then you open the door for him to be like, well, we'll see, everybody. You know, the whole thing has been about how he's playing and everything, how he's coming back. And then, like, the direct question, so you're playing? Well, I don't know. You know, come and find out. It's like, okay, all right. You know, he hasn't been activated yet. Yeah. I mean, again, it's like everybody knows he's playing. And again, I don't blame. It's a direct question. Like, there's nothing wrong with a direct question. It just opens the door for this silliness. And, you know, Derrick Henry's not available at a press conference. If today they're like, I don't know, is he playing? Is he not? I'm not sure. That's not going to happen. So, but yeah, it was, he actually seemed to be, it's wild to think that he had not spoken since a few days before, you know, before Halloween in any capacity, as far as I know. And this is again where I'm not on all the social media apps or everything. I
can't not scoping out the gram.
Can't track, yeah, or the talk. I can't track all the.
No, Joe,
the,
it is not called the talk.
It should be though,
just
right?
Just TikTok for that one.
But if you shorten Instagram to the gram, why can't we shorten TikTok to the talk?
I don't know.
It's kind of cool, isn't it?
Yeah. Do you get a Twitter space?
No, just TikTok.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, maybe he was on something all this time talking to the fans and giving updates. I don't think so. I think Derrick Henry has been pretty much like completely hibernated from the point of injury to now. So
cameo videos with Jared.
Now, Derrick, we expect you to take every single snap, okay? Including on third down. You're fine. Yeah. So it's pretty rare these days, right? That you have someone like that who's such a star who just pushes it all aside, but that's probably also speaks to his success a little bit.
Shane from Ashland City on the text line says, good morning. Did you see his grin when he said, we'll see Saturday? He's definitely playing. Yeah. This coming from Shane from Ashland City. Yeah. Well, not much of a poker face from Derrick Henry. I'll say that.
He was like, thank you for asking that. You know? Really, the coaches, I mean, basically Todd Downing confirmed he's playing yesterday too, you know.
I mean Roger Saffold on with us was like, yeah, we'll see what he looks like out there on the field on Saturday.
Yeah. So, but, you know, have a little fun with it. And I know someone on Twitter was talking to me yesterday angry because this, I'm going to find this. He was actually calling out John Glenn and Chad Tracy on Twitter. Says that this now opens the door. He called out Glennon for a tweet about this, like making it seem like, you know, like maybe there's some mystery about this, so media members can like make this, and now it can be a bunch of headlines like Derrick Henry confirmed he's going to play, breaking news. There's you know, I don't think Glennon's tweet was, I mean he said technically, Glennon said technically he's not, you know, he's not activated, but I get the frustration a little bit in general with, because it, like, and honestly it happened on the Athletic site too. Like when they activate him, are there going to be a bunch of headlines that he's officially activated? Yeah.
Well, at this point, would you expect Friday to be the day that it's made official? I mean, here we are. We're 2 days away from that date at this point. I mean, I guess they're waiting until Friday.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, you know, you hold out hope, you know, you hold out hope that like Zach Taylor and his staff are just holding off and to wait and see if Derrick Henry's activated before they prepare for him, you know?
Lots of gamesmanship by Vrabel this week. He's just sending Derek out there for press conferences. Has no intention of playing him. Just be.
Imagine that. See, maybe that's it. Maybe actually he's not going to play. And now the Bengals have built their entire defensive plan around stopping him.
It's like they get there, they look around, and oh my gosh, there's no Derrick Henry. How do we stop Deontay Foreman? What do we do?
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Like, wait a minute. What? I don't know what to do here. Were you supposed to tackle that guy? Jeremy McNichols all of a sudden is staring him down, and they don't know what to do. You know?
It's just amazing how this could all play out. I think at this point we'd all be pretty shocked if Derrick Henry's not out there on Saturday. Now, you know, we've had a couple of people text in this week saying, you know, what if there's a setback? I mean, you've got to be wary of that if you're the Titans. And as you've talked about with this injury, you know, I think that he's 100% right now in terms of his healing, but you know, there is a chance that you could re-injure this thing at some point. So you always got to be wary of that if you're the Titans. But you know, I think if I'm going to be in attendance in Nissan Stadium coming up on Saturday afternoon, I'd expect to be getting pretty loud when the introductions come out, because I would think that number 22 is going to be taking a stride onto the field, and that's going to be a pretty cool scene. By the way, did you see, apparently, like, there's this movement among Titans fans to, when he's announced on Saturday, just start, like, banging the chair in front of you to just make the whole place sound like an earthquake. We'll see what happens on that stuff.
That sounds scary.
Yeah.
I don't like that stuff. I hope I never have to cover another game in Camp Randall Stadium, because that jump around thing, where they go, it's absolutely terrifying in the press box. You are literally swaying hundreds of feet above the ground, swaying in the air. So please don't do that, Titans fans. Just cheer. Just clap. How about a nice golf clap?
That's right. We'll continue the conversation on Derrick Henry and the Titans. Got more of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. .5 The Game Preds Game Day broadcasts are brought to you by Hermitage Design Center, the professional source for lighting, hardware, appliance, custom kitchens and baths, and on the web at GoHermitage.com. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Remember, FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Got a texture that says, I'm impartial, but I think you guys are assuming Henry won't be rusty, maybe aggravate an injury due to the field or whatever. You can't take away the other receivers, Boyd, Higgins, the tight end, and even Mixon. I'm not trying to be a downer, and the Titans have had some impressive wins. However, I think the majority of radio and text and callers are dismissive on some serious weapons. To add to my text, if Burrow and company get out to a big lead, does that remove Henry? Do the Titans scrap the running game due to the clock, and does Tannehill have it in him to put it on his back? Like I said, I'm impartial to the game, but the amount of homer takes is nauseating at times, not strictly on this show, but Nashville media in general. I mean, we've talked about...
We're the only show in town that... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, we've talked about T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd all week. Like, how much more we got to talk about those guys before we're accounting for them? I mean, we've spent the whole week talking about how deep they are at wide receiver.
Yeah, I think so. I think we're the only show in town that's done that.
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe we are, actually. Maybe that's what we just found out, that we're the only show in town that's done that. I think that the Bengals have serious weapons, and everybody knows that. And even before they got this, even before the Bengals played the Raiders, we were talking about that matchup and how it could be problematic for the Titans. So I think that there's been plenty of discussion to that effect. As far as Henry, look, this is why I would not go into this game and just say, all right, we're just right back to normal and it's Derrick Henry's show and whoever else is behind him, it doesn't matter. And, you know, then there's a third down back sometimes. I would be a little bit more equitable in the backfield and ease him in a little bit. Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. As far as can Tannehill, I don't, you know, obviously the Titans hope they don't have to find that out. They certainly have stuck with Derrick Henry even when down. For example, I mean, the best example would be 24-9 at Seattle. Yep. And a lot of that comeback was Tannehill, but it was also a huge touchdown run from Derrick Henry in the fourth quarter that was a huge moment in helping them come back. So they stick with it long after maybe some teams would, because it's just so much a part of their identity and what they want to do. But obviously they don't, you know, if the Bengals get a big lead in this game, I mean, that's a problem.
Yeah. It's a problem. Now, to your point, I think the Titans are probably more willing to stay with the run longer than most teams in the NFL would be when they're down in games, because I still think there is something to the fact of, you know, eventually Derrick Henry wears another team down. Now, that's going to be what's interesting about this game is, you know, how much wearing down of the defense does Derrick Henry do if he's not getting his normal workload? Now, I don't know that he's not going to get his normal workload. Like, if you told me right now that he ended up with 25 carries on Saturday, I'd be like, oh, okay. I don't know that would necessarily surprise me. I think you know that it's going to be close to that when he's completely healthy and the game at least stays somewhat close for the Titans. They want to get him the ball a lot. This is a different situation with him coming off the injury. I don't know what the approach is going to be from the coaching staff when it comes to Derrick Henry. I would expect it might be at least a little different to start.
I would think so. You know, I would think so. I mean, I think coming right out with him in the first series would be cool. I'm sure that's what everybody in the stadium is going to want. Deontay Foreman, I guess you could say, who's in a rhythm now? I was going to say Deontay Foreman's in a rhythm. Now, of course, they did have the bye week, so it's been a while since he's carried the ball too. But, I'd be surprised if there's any sort of actual cap number for Derrick Henry. But I'd also be surprised if it's just totally business as usual on that front to start the game. So we'll see. But, I mean, I'm with you. Like, if in the end it's 25 carries or whatever, it's not going to be shocking to me. I'm sticking with, I think if that's the case, a lot of it would probably happen late in the game, which to me is the best plan. That's when he's at his best. That's when defenses are most compromised. And obviously that requires a game situation being where the Titans want it to be.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Rob in Clarksville texting in says, with all the hype around Derrick Henry being back, if he starts the game, the Titans should go play action pass over the top first play of the game, because Cincinnati is going to load the box to stop him and to prove a point. We've heard a lot of that this week, Rexrode. I'm starting to get closer to your point that maybe they should just turn around and hand the ball off to Derrick Henry, because everybody's going to be expecting the play action pass at this point.
You don't want one of those, you don't want one of those Ryan Tannehill turns around and all of a sudden the ball is knocked out of his hands play action moments, you know, because you can blitz into one of those things and have a real problem. So
to have a repeat Chandler Jones.
Exactly. I feel like there's a lot of expectation. So I don't know. Maybe your first place should just be like a Chester Rogers jet sweep. How about that?
Yeah.
You know, just come where there's no chance of Derrick Henry getting hit, but then also there's no chance of like some huge gamble by the Bengals getting your quarterback hit.
I am interested to see kind of what the game plan is coming out of the gate for Todd Downing and company. I mean, you've brought it up multiple times. We've talked a lot this week about the pressure that's on Ryan Tannehill in this game. I do think there's significant pressure on Downing as well heading into this playoff run. Now that you have your offensive line healthy, you have your full complement of weapons back and available to you, I mean, the expectation is, in this matchup especially, that your offense should be able to move the ball and put up some points. It's a big day coming up for Todd Downing, his first in the playoffs for the Titans as offensive coordinator.
Yeah, I mean, look, we've talked about both coordinators a lot all year, of course, and I think they're in different spots. I think there's been more, I don't know how to put it, proving of oneself, or just a little bit more, I think, certainty with Shane Bowen based on this year than there is with Todd Downing. And again, if you're Todd Downing, you could say, okay, well, can I go through the lineups with you that I've had week to week? And then how about this week and that week where we did this and this and that? I mean, it's not like it's been bad. I think Todd Downing, for those who thought he was cheeks because of the Raiders season, you know, I thought this was going to be a disaster. I think that's out the window. I mean, you know, I think he's been fine, but, you know, can he have a great game in a moment like this? Because you may need it. You know, you may be in a situation, even though that defense has been so good for the Titans this year and so turned around. No, Joe Biden, that those guys can still, they could just blow that up. I mean, they're that good. They're good enough to go score a lot of points this game. So you may be in a situation of trying to keep up in a game like that. So I think this playoff run is very big. And again, it's now, okay, the offensive line is together. The receivers are there. You have 22 back. So can you put it all together the way that your predecessor did so often, you know, in the last season and a half before he got the Atlanta Falcons head coaching job? Is there was just a lot of days after Titans wins where you're like, man, Arthur Smith was really good. You know, yeah. And that's what you're looking for. And if Todd Downing can do that, then I really like the Titans' chances to win Saturday and maybe to do more than that.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Will from Nashville texting in says, there seems to be, especially from Jared and certainly Chris Sanders, the sentiment that our D-line will get home and as such will shut down their passing game. Our defense couldn't stop Robbie's favorite quarterback, Davis Mills, in the second half. Could not stop him. Mills and Texans receivers are not Burrow and the Bengals. It's coming from Will from Nashville on the text line. Could not stop Davis Mills. There's no question about that.
Well, you know, here and there, people. Davis Mills played well down the stretch, by the way. I mean, down the stretch.
Yeah.
Take note of my pun.
Very nice.
Yes, but I will say that was probably one of the most disappointing parts of that game. Yeah, you know, you don't want to get beat by Danny Amendola or anyone to that extent, but that happens. But the lack of pass rush in the second half of that game was confusing to me. So you're right. The last outing for these guys wasn't good. Now, if you want to look at that and isolate that and look at the whole season, you know, then it's been pretty good. And in some weeks it's been tremendous. With the time off, what is that doing for Harold Landry? I think Harold Landry down the stretch was ailing a little bit. What does it do for Bud Dupree? You know, that's to me, the Titans aren't making a run unless those guys play like they did against Kansas City, like they did against the Rams. If you get that group against this Bengals offensive line and the quarterback who has been sacked in the NFL more than any other quarterback 51 times, then I think you're going to get home a few times.
We'll continue the discussion on the Titans. Got more of your thoughts to get to on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll get to those coming up next. Are you missing football on Thursdays? Well, you can still turn every Thursday into a payday with NBA on TNT on FanDuel Sportsbook. And it doesn't matter if you win or lose, FanDuel is giving all customers $10 back every single Thursday. Just bet a $10 or more same game parlay on any NBA on TNT game. Same game parlays let you combine the money line, the point spread, player props, and more all into one wager. Got a good one coming up tonight on TNT, the Suns and the Mavs. Give me the Suns on the money line. Give me Devin Booker over on the points, but you take it any way you want to take it. Offers like this are why I love betting the NBA on FanDuel Sportsbook. When you win, you get paid in as little as 2 hours. And if you're new to FanDuel, just sign up with promo code ROB to get your first bet risk-free up to $1,000 and make every moment more this NBA season. Once again, that promo code is ROB exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. A max bonus of $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.